Coming to you via the internet and your friends at PipesMagazine.com, it's the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. The show that is so bad, it's best to turn off your brain now before it causes further damage. Now, I invite you to sit back, relax, the smoking lamp is lit. Here's your host, Brian Levine.
Ooh, welcome to the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. Yes, the sometimes irreverent, sometimes educational, but always entertaining weekly pipe smoking broadcast. And I am your host, Brian Levine, reminding you, you must be of legal smoking age wherever you are in order to listen to this fine show. So if you're not, go ahead and turn it off. Thank you very much. And on this week's episode in Pipe Parts, we're going to take a photo tour of the tobaccos that I am most coveting in my collection. That's what I'm calling it, and more about that in Pipe Parts. And then my guest is the big pipe guy himself, the one and only Rich Esserman. We get caught up with Rich and ask him similar questions to what you heard a couple weeks back with Steve Fallon. So we get his response to that. Music by request, mailbag, and rant, all that coming up on this week's episode of the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. And remember, a couple of things. One, if you're new to the show, please listen to the current episodes while getting caught up on the back episodes, or going back and cherry-picking the back episodes and doing all that. Two, please, does help. Really does help. Two things you can do to really help the show. One, listen to the show all the way through. Yeah, the algorithms, which is apparently not three guys from Italy that are a music group, the algorithms do pay attention to who fast forwards and who listens all the way through and all that stuff. So that is much help. The other thing the algorithms listen to and pay attention to is ratings and reviews. So Spotify and Apple Podcasts, much appreciated if you leave those. And then the best thing you can do is share it out to all your friends and enemies and all the people around the world and tell them to listen to the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. All right? There you go. There's all the rules. Yeah, it's nice to kind of every once in a while just kind of do them at the front of the show, get them out of the way, and then I don't have to worry about them at the end or poking them in, and then everybody gets to hear them. All right? And again, if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, recommendations, requests, any of those long words that are customer service related, if you have any of those, you can email them directly to me, brian@pipesmagazine.com, B-R-I-A-N at pipesmagazine.com. That's the best way to get them to me, and that way they don't get lost in the social medias. And while you're on the social medias, follow me on Facebook and Instagram. That's the only two places I am. And I don't do much, but I got to get better at that. Yeah, I keep saying that. All right, let's get the show rolling. So everybody sit back, relax, fire up a bowl. Thank you all for tuning in, and here we go.
There's nothing quite like a good book. Or my genuine Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipe. An American legend since 1869. It's the coolest, smoothest pipe I've ever owned. See for yourself at corncobpipe.com.
Have a look in your tobacco cellar. What do you see? Think of what you smoke, what you age, what you're drawn to in a blend that keeps you wanting more. That's your taste. And whether you know it or not, you've been leading that expedition since you first picked up a pipe. Just by smoking what you like, and liking what you smoke. But the funny thing about taste, it changes, and you need a wide selection to accommodate it. We at Smoking Pipes know this, and you know it too. So whether you're searching for a tried and true favorite, or a singular boutique mixture, we're here to help you navigate the voyage of your evolving tastes. But you're still at the helm. Smoking Pipes, in faithful service of the hobby.
And we are back on the Pipes Magazine Radio Show, and for Pipe Parts. All right, so a while back I got asked, and because I'm disorganized and somewhat lazy, and kind of still living in a little bit of chaos here, I can't remember who asked me. But I was asked to talk about, in addition to the pipe collection, my tobaccos that I am coveting.
and or the rare tobaccos that I have that I'm holding on to, you know, for special occasions or whatever it may be. All right. So I did it. I took pictures, and there's pictures posted on the show page at pipesmagazine.com. And here's the tobaccos. Starting off from left to right, hopefully in the first picture, depending on how Kevin posts them, is two cans of the 1983 Red Ribbon, the Tom's Private Reserve. These were both canned in 1999. But it's the 1983 crop. These are 4-ounce cans. And these cans used to only be sold in the store or at pipe shows. So I've in the past, I think I've smoked one full can. I think I sold a couple of cans when in 2008-09 when times were tough. But one of the cans from the 83 crop is signed to me by Tom McCraney before he passed away. So that one will be, I've always said that'll be my last tin of tobacco that I smoke, and hopefully I can remember why. So I've got two of those, and then I've got one of the 2008 crop of Tom's Private Reserve Red Ribbon that was canned in 2014 or 2015, I believe, 2013. And then next to that in a stack on the bottom is the last and only can of 2005 Blakeney's Best Acadian Ribbon that I have. I've got a lot of 2006 and a lot of 2017, but that's the one and only 2005 tin that I have. So that'll be, that's coveted. There's two that are from McClelland also. It's the Member's Choice Carolina Ribbon with Perique, and it was done for, I believe, a 2006 or 7 Kansas City Pipe Show. And McClelland did 100 of those cans. To the best of my knowledge, I ended up with about 8 of them, and I've only got 2 left. And it's a Virginia Perique. It's more along the lines of the Red Ribbon, and it's got Perique in it. All right. Above those two cans of 1983 McCraney's Red Ribbon, the 50-gram tins, those were both tinned in 1999. Again, I got those. I bought those actually at a Columbus pipe show for like 40 or 50 bucks each. The stack next to that, the 3 round cans that are sitting down and then the 4th one that's sitting up. So I'm actively looking for Robert McConnell's Red Virginia made in England. And the 3 on the bottom are imported by James B. Russell. So that's going to be the late 90s. Early 2000s, but they were made in England. And then the one standing up is the oldest one, because that goes back to 1991 or 92, and that is marked as imported by WN Powers, or Wayne Powers, who you've heard on the show. So when I can find those, I pick them up if they're at a reasonable price. It's just it's a Red Virginia that I really like. All right, nobody else really raves about it. In the next picture is 3 tins of Escudo, 2 at the white painted lids. Those are from 2002 and 3. So that's after ANC Peterson moved over to Orlick, or now Scandinavian Tobacco Group. But it's before, I believe, they did the blend change in 06. But those are the last 2 painted lid cans I have. And I'll be honest with you, the prices that those are selling for right now on the secondary market, those will probably be the last 2 I ever have, because the one on the bottom is when they converted over to the flatter round cans with the sticker lids. But again, from the date coding, it's a 2004, so it's in the right period. It's just they'd run out of the white painted lids. Now to finish it up, these are kind of sentimental tins that are in the picture. The 2 that say Core Anniversary, or it says 20th Anniversary Core, that was a collab before collabs were cool. McClelland and myself, while I was working for Peter Stokeby, for the Conclave of Richmond Pipe Smokers 20th Anniversary, which was in 2004, McClelland and I did a collab. So the bottom fat round can is a paint lid can. It's actually a tobacco called Paul Olson's Jubileum, and it's a light aromatic. And then the tin on the top of it with the 20 candles going around it is a McClelland Anniversary tin with a Cyprian Latakia. So it's the McClelland Anniversary blend in a 50-gram tin. So what I did was McClelland sent the tins to me, and I ordered the tins from Orlick because I was working for Peter Stokeby then. We custom made the labels, and sitting on the in my living room floor in front of the TV, I adhered 500 labels, because I think we did 250 sets total. I adhered 500 labels, you know, 250 of the big can, 250 of the small can, glued them on and glued the stickers on the bottom, and then tried to use hot glue to adhere the candles to the top of the cake. So the small can is candles, the big can is cake. That was what we did. Then we gave them to the Core Show, and I think they sold them for $10 or $20 a set. Anyway, I've got two of them. The tin on top, the Peterson Irish Mixture. So that is a tin of tobacco that my daughter brought back from me from a three-day trip she did to Dublin while she was over in England doing her doing a semester abroad. And she walked into the Peterson store and picked that out. Now, it's Irish Mixture. It's probably something that I would never really pick out for myself nor intend to smoke. But because she bought it and she brought it back for me from the Peterson store in Dublin, well, that gets the sentimental vote of tins that I covet. As far as the tobaccos that I'm looking for, the only thing that I'm really actively looking for that's hard to find, and I've got to find it at the right price, is 1980s Bell's Three Nuns. If I can find some of that at the right price, I'll go for it. Everything else, you know, I'm pretty happy with my tobacco selection. You know, my tobacco hoarding started really seriously in 2002, 2003, 2004, so I've got a lot of stuff from, you know, that's 15 years old now and just sitting there and aging, and I got to smoke it. So I'm trying to find some new stuff to age. So there you go. There's a tour of the tobaccos that I'm coveting at the moment and saving for special occasions and don't want to get rid of and probably don't want to smoke. Comments, questions, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com, and in just a moment, my conversation with the big pipe guy, Rich Esserman.
This is Internet Radio.
Since its beginnings in 1876, Savinelli has become more than just a pipe factory. It's become a lifestyle. From sourcing the finest Mediterranean briar and partnering with local artisans to acquire unique accents, to expanding their catalog each year with new, innovative series, Savinelli produces high-quality Italian pipes that serve as a reflection of your individual tastes. With a portfolio that ranges from rugged designs fit for the outdoors to elegant pieces destined for black tie galas, Savinelli is more than a mark. They're a way to help you make your mark.
We are back on the Pipes Magazine radio show, and joining us is the big pipe guy himself, Doctor of Pipes, noted author from the Pipe Collector, former pipe show organizer and head chief and grand poobah of the New York pipe shows, Rich Esserman. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Brian. Great to be here. Always a pleasure.
All right. So it's been a little bit over a year since you were here last. The reports of your demise have been greatly exaggerated. And I've heard you've been, I heard you were, dating other people by going on other podcasts too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
True. I went on another podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, it was a lot of fun to hear you without having to worry about editing you. So that was great. All right, Rich, so I'm kind of circling the wagons and getting some of you more senior people on the show again, just to kind of, update us on what are you seeing on the market? What are you seeing on all the social media? Anything pipe and tobacco related kind of exciting to you right now?
Yeah, good question. Actually, there's a lot going on. You know, one of the things I've always tried to do throughout my whole pipe collecting career, as they say, or the hobby for well over 45 years now, is I like to know what's going on. Just in general, not because I'm going to be chasing new stuff right now or whatever it is, but I like to hear what other people are doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, to me, that's half the fun. You know, because I get a lot of pleasure. Like, for instance, if you're specialized collection, I like to hear, you got another great new piece or something like that. To me, that just adds to my happiness. Overall, I don't know why, but it does.
Well, going back in all your years of pipe collecting and the correspondences through the Pipe Smoker's Ephemeris and then the Pipe Collector, I've noticed you're always interested in what's exciting other people. And is that so that you can learn and maybe get an idea of something new for you, or are you just a nosy happy guy?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. You know, first of all, I have friends, some friends who collect very similar stuff to me, and they may try a brand or whatever it is that, you know, I've never tried, or I like to get their opinion on certain things. You know, so I'm constantly just learning by actually hearing what people are doing. But the reality of it is most people don't smoke the size pipes that I like. They may smoke similar brands, but they don't smoke the same size. So, but I like to hear, like, for instance, I have a friend of mine now who's doing some different stuff. He started to get into some Danish pieces, which he really hadn't gotten into. He's been collecting for many years, 25 years. And all of a sudden he's adding a lot of different Danish makers, current stuff to his collection. And some of the things are really tremendous. Other things are very nice, you know. But it really, I can see that he's really excited about doing this. And the pipes themselves are really, really terrific, you know, for him. I think he's found a new niche. Now, he might go through maybe 3 years, 2 years from now. Maybe he won't be collecting this anymore. But right now, he's really enjoying that. So I like to read about what people are doing and enjoying. Sometimes, like I say, you can learn things. I mean, I'm always reading, for instance, the new, even though I don't really buy new tobaccos now very much, I maybe buy a few odds and ends. But I like to hear what people are, how people are reacting to the, to different things, like the new vapors. That seems to be the big thing right now,
You're not actively buying or sourcing tobaccos right now, but you're just still interested in what people are saying about the stuff that's out there.
Yeah, because the thing is, I've been buying. Many years ago, I went to visit my friend Chuck Rio out in Chicago, and we got to talking, and he said, Rich, you should age your English tobaccos, which he enjoyed like I did, 3 years, 3 to 5 years max, and you'll see they get better. So I said, well, all right, I'll try it. And, I discovered they got better from my point of view. And then later on, I happened to buy some tobacco, Dunhill tobacco, let's say 12 or 15 years after it stopped being produced, made in England tobacco. And I said, oh my God, this is tremendous. So what I've done over the years is that as new things have come up, I've purchased them. I mean, I smoked McClellan tobaccos since the early 90s when I found out about them. I liked them.
Okay.
You know, they weren't, I mean, you could go on any store, of course, up until the time they went out of business. And, how much did it cost you? $10, $8, $12 to get a great tobacco. So, to me, that's always been something that I've been interested in. And I tell people now, you know, there's some new blends out there. You know, they're made basically to some to smoke now, some to age. And I always tell people, you know, see what you like and then try to get as much of what you like by it. But again, you know, I'm not a vapor guy. I unfortunately cannot really smoke too much Perique anymore, which is bad because I used to really like Perique.
Yeah. My worst nightmare is that I can't smoke Perique anymore and then I've got all this stuff.
I know. It just happened. You know, so, you know, I was reading an interesting article, which I'm going to sort of be mentioning in maybe my next missive about it was something I missed. There was an old Pipe magazine called Pipe, mm-hmm. which was a UK or Danish magazine or something. And it only was around for maybe 7-8 years, 2 issues a year. And there was a thing about English tobaccos that I never read. I must have missed it for some reason, so I was looking it over. And at the end of the article, though, this is a very genteel type magazine, the guy said, you know, and there's a big rift between people that like aromatics and people that like, you know, English tobacco, and the two will never mix and mate and whatever it is. And it was a really odd thing for this magazine because they were very low-key type magazine. And I'm saying to myself, you know, now there's so much different tobaccos out there that, and I don't really think that there's that big rift anymore in terms of, you know, people saying, well, you know, if you smoke this, you're terrible. If you smoke that, you're terrible. Maybe some people feel that way. But I always believe that, you know, you have to smoke exactly what it is you want. And sometimes it's hard to find out what it is you want. I call the people that are trying to figure it out, you know, when they, how many tins you have open now? 20.
Yeah.
20 tins, you know. Yeah, I call them the serial openers, you know. They open stuff, they smoke a bowl or two, they don't know if they like it. They open up a new tin, you know. So I like talking to people and seeing what it is they like and then maybe suggesting certain kinds of tobaccos or maybe doing some different things. Today, I really enjoy helping people, and I enjoy listening to, yeah, I really found this great tobacco, and it's something that I really like.
Do you,
to me,
do the same thing when you hear about somebody raving about a new pipe maker or a new pipe brand?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know what it is about pipes and people. I mean, you know, when you think about it, you know, you buy a new pair of shoes, you might say, Rich, I got this new pair of shoes. They fit great. And I say, okay, who made them and whatever it is. And then I go on my merry way. Mm-hmm. For some reason, the pipes excite people. And, you know, most people, even if you're buying a pipe that may not be super expensive, you want it to be something special.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys now, there's a lot of artisan makers out there who are doing different things. Some of them have turned to be into, I'm not going to mention names really because, you know, I don't want to say this guy or that guy, but there are many. If you go on Instagram, for instance, you'll see there are tons of people, tons of new pipe makers making pipes. And you can find, and you can have them, for instance, make you a pipe that you want. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I always say to people, look, you know, experiment around, understand what the price ranges are, because it's sometimes hard to figure out what they are because they don't really tell you. They'll say, you know, PM me for the price and whatever it is. But you get a general sense, and so that's the whole thing. You know, I say to people, look, I know one guy, you know, he just smokes artesian pipes. That's it. He likes artesian pipes. And then every now and then he'll say, oh, but I also like, and then he'll name an old company that he likes. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
All right.
But what I like to, you know, what I like to do, Brian, is I like people to say, look, you know, what is it that I like? what's the price range of categories, and then they can start looking for new and different things. That'll satisfy them.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break right here. When we come back, we'll have we'll have more with Rich, the big pipe guy, and we'll talk him. We'll ask him about things from the past that he misses. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Reeves, head blender of Cornell and Deal. We know pipe smoking is a personal journey. That's why our small team of blending and production experts take a personal approach in every step, preparing tobacco products just for you. We source top quality leaf through the personal connections we've made around the world, hand blend that leaf, and carefully package each tin. Each product, from special releases like our small batch line, to our most popular mixtures like Autumn Evening, are made right here in South Carolina by professionals dedicated to providing the finest of smoking experiences. Lighting up a pipe is an exploration through evolving flavors, thoughts, memories, and even dreams. From our hands to yours, Cornell and Deal tobaccos are your passport for that voyage, provided by people who, like you, value the journey.
We are back on the Pipes Magazine radio show, visiting with Doctor of Pipes, Rich Esserman. All right, Rich, what are some of the things from the past that you miss, or what do you think has changed for the good and changed for the bad in the pipe collecting hobby over your time?
Wow.
Yeah.
Do we have a few hours?
Yeah. Take your time.
Yeah. All right, I promise to get done in an hour and a half, guarantee it. There have been significant changes, and good things and bad things, of course. You know, I'll start with what I'll call the things that I miss, really do miss, is being able to go into, like when I used to go into Manhattan early on, many years ago, and there was like 10 or 12 really good pipe stores.
Yeah.
And you could just walk into the pipe store and see everything. Great stuff. Take a look at it, hold it in your hand, they give you that thing, and you can put it in your mouth. And it was tremendous. You could actually go and actually see it and feel it. And you got a good sense of what pipes were like. You know, what are the brands? So if you saw, for instance, the old Larson brand, which isn't made anymore, you could go into Wally Frank's and look at Larson and see him and hold him and see a straight grain and so on. And that, to me, was really a very important thing. You know, like there was a Sheraton shop in New York, and you could go in and see tons of Sheratons.
Yeah.
You could go up 10 blocks and a little further west, and you could go to De La Concha, and they would have 30, 40, 50 Sheratons. And those days are long gone. The other thing, too, is, you know, being able to physically touch and see pipes, that's something that really I miss. The other thing is also, we were talking about tobacco. We have a lot of different, tobaccos nowadays, but in the old days you could buy, you know, Steve Fallon, Mr. Pipe Stud, will sell, you know, stuff, you know, and some of the great stuff you may not even see anymore. But yeah, I used to go into Dunhill's shop and buy whatever I wanted, my mixture number 10 or 9 6, I'd pay $1.95 you know, for a 2 ounce tin.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, 50 gram tin, or pay $2.50 for a 100 gram tin or something like that. You know, these are the kind of things that I sort of miss. And then as time progressed, we used to have, I know many people did, develop the pipe clubs. So in New York, we used to have a really terrific pipe club, and you could smoke anywhere.
Oh.
And so we used to have great meeting places, a bunch of people, you know, and of course that's gone. And the same thing with pipe shows, as you and I had talked about before. You know, pipe shows have changed a lot. And I know that I'll put the plug in for your Las Vegas show. They're trying to make it go back in time to be like the shows of old.
Yeah.
But I always think of, you know, as you mentioned, I put on pipe shows for 26 years. And in the early days, you know, you could smoke anywhere in a hotel.
Yeah.
And when you walked into the room, you better have your face mask on or whatever it is, because man, people were puffing and huffing and puffing.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first time I was at your show, I think in early 2001, if you stood up, you were in a cloud of smoke and you couldn't see maybe more than 10 feet. But if you sat down, you were under the smoke.
That's true. That's true. You know, and those are great. And we used to have meetings before the show and after the show, and you could smoke anywhere. Same thing in Chicagoland, when it really moved to Pheasant Run, which is when it became, to my opinion, really the best.
Yeah.
Of all, and you know, you could smoke anywhere. Yeah, you know, you'd go into the bar, and you know, there were people all over the place. It was terrific. And the same thing, other pipe shows like Richmond, you know, you'd walk into the hotel, you could smoke in many places. But, you know, those days are long gone. I really do miss the ease of being able to walk into like the hotel or whatever it is and be able to smoke a bowl of tobacco at these shows, or to walk into a pipe shop and, you know, go to 10 of them or 8 of them and make a day of it. Those are long gone. On the other hand, though, the good news is,
yep,
is that the amount of pipes that are available online is dramatically better. You can't compare what it was like, you know, what it was like even. I'll give you an example. My friend Ed Lehman, long gone now, 20 years, was an avid pipe lighter. And he would call. His phone bill must have been back in the 70s, $250 a month. Because he would call every pipe shop that he knew about, the really good ones, and he would ask what they had. And then sometimes you'd call London, Dunhill in London, to see, did they get anything new in? And, you know, so you really had a hunt and search. Of course, there was a fellow, many people don't know him anymore, Barry Levin, who put together like a mailer.
Yeah.
You know, and he would distribute every month or month and a half or whatever it is, and there would be 100 pipes, 100, 200 pipes in his mailer, color photos. And so you got to see, like, wow. Or Bob Hamlin, who used to run this thing called the PCCA, he would have a newsletter, and you'd see many great Costellos. But that was all there was. And now you have eBay, and I often say this to people, you know, you go on to eBay is great, and then it's not so great. It's great because, you know, I have purchased many, many, many terrific pipes on eBay that I never would have heard of, known about, nothing. I could have never even. Some of my greatest Dunhills, most people know that I collect large Dunhills. I would never heard about them. I would have never heard about it if it wasn't for eBay. You know, these pipes would be sitting someplace in Connecticut or Pennsylvania, and you would never find out about it. And also, I can go on, and if I want to see examples of different things, if I look like I collect Costellos, I like Costellos a lot, I could go on and in an hour see, like, you know, 600, 700, 800 Costellos online on eBay, and also pipe shops throughout the world, in Italy and Germany and England, you know, the U.S. So the access and the availability, even though I can't hold them and touch them, is really a tremendous thing. You can't downplay that. On the other hand, though, it also, in certain cases, I've heard values for resale. Costello being a great example, because if you can find 700-800 Costellos at any time, they're not rare anymore. In the old days, Costellos were rare. You'd call up a pipe shop and you'd say, "Do you have a Costello?" And they would say, "Yes, we do." I say, "Well, what is it?" They say, "Oh, it's on layaway." So, you know.
It's for somebody your age, which I'm not saying that to be condescending or anything, but you're not a teenager. You're fairly active on social media. Do you follow certain pipe collectors and look to see what other pipe collectors might be buying and getting excited about and then enter conversations with them?
Yes, I do. Not so much because I'm looking for new things to buy or new things to add to my collection. But I do follow many guys. And I really like, you know, the other day I read this ad on Facebook, which I don't go on as much anymore because they change whatever it is, their algorithm, whatever. Yeah. But one guy said, "This is going to be a rant." And he went on and he said, you know, all these guys are showing these pipes about, you know what they're getting and everything. I feel obligated to like them or whatever. And he went on for this. I really didn't understand why he was complaining, but he was complaining. And, you know, in real life, what I tell people in real life, and I've met a few guys that I work with, they wanted help and they were wealthy. I said, you know what? In real life, no one cares about pipes. If you're looking to make a big splash in the world, don't do it in the pipe world. Go collect Ferraris.
Yeah.
You know, buy a Maserati or something. Buy a Picasso, because you can have the greatest pipe collection, and no one really cares except other pipe collectors.
Right.
And so the great thing about the social media is that you can put your pipe on whatever it is you're smoking, whether it's a Rossi pipe or whether it's some high-grade Dunhill or whether it's a Danish pipe or whatever it is, and people react to that, and most of the time they react very positively. Who else are you going to tell, Ryan, that you got this pipe in your normal daily life?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, I can buy a pipe, bring it home, and show it to my wife, and she'll look at it and go, "All right, well, that looks like a pipe." she knows some of the differences, but yeah, I mean, even when I got that last Sato, I waited until I was on the Saturday Zoom group to light it up, and then I shared it on social media.
Yeah, and see, to me, sharing, because it's sharing your joy and pleasure about that particular pipe. It doesn't mean I have to buy it. It doesn't mean I'm going to have to collect. It doesn't mean anything. What it does is you're by interacting with you, and you look and I see that pipe and I see it's beautiful and it's got the, how do you say, Urushi?
The Urushi lacquer.
Yeah, the Urushi lacquer, which is the stuff that you collect, and it's fairly rare even with him. And I look at that and I say, wow, that's great. It's something tremendous that you bought. I'm using the word tremendous too much, but it's true. That you bought that really is giving you pleasure, and I can interact with you and pick up on that. You know, I can pick up on that. And so when a guy says, "Look, I tried this new maker, and I really like them, and here's a photo of it, and it's a nice piece," you know, I can pick up on that, and I can say, "Yeah, it's a nice, great shape, great billiard," you know, or I got the Peterson, St. Patrick's Day pipe 2 years in a row, and here's the difference between this one and this one. I'm really happy. It's a car finish. It's a Peterson. It didn't cost a lot of money, but it's giving this guy pleasure and joy. And to me, that's important. And also, though, I get to see things Like, for instance, I have a friend of mine who collects Marmots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't collect Marmots, and he has a really great collection of Marmots, and he'll post some of it on the Instagram. And sometimes he'll send me photos. But I get to look at these pipes that I would never, ever be able to see, because he gets some of the stuff, and, you know, it's off the site. And I get to appreciate what Marmot has done, even though I'm not collecting them. I probably will never collect them because they're not big enough. Or I'm just using him as an example. But to me, that's a critical element of the social media that I like a lot.
Yeah.
And plus, I can also tell people, you know, I look at, I recently got a new Dunhill Magnum. I hadn't found one that I really wanted. But I've had many dealers, you know, say, look at, I got a Magnum. Are you interested? Now, that's important to me because that's my real, that's my fundamental rock bed collecting interest. And I got one recently. A fellow that I know said, hey, I'm selling off a collection for somebody. Here's a Magnum. Now, you know, he knew me from the past, but some people know me from now. And they'll send me a link and they'll say, Rich, did you see this pipe on eBay? It may not be a Dunhill, it may be some kind of larger pipe. Have you seen this pipe? And I've purchased a couple pieces that if people didn't know what I was interested in, I would have never seen it. I might have missed it. You know, how valuable is that? It's very valuable.
Yeah.
And I try to do the same for them.
Do you, so going forward, what are you excited about in the pipe collecting hobby? What do you think the future is?
Well, you know, I'm very excited because I see people are not just older guys like me, but a lot of younger guys. And what I mean by younger is people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, really into pipes. Like I remember people being back when I was 30, 40, and 50, and they're experimenting. And I really think that now is a good time for pipe collecting and pipe smoking, because I think people, even though, you know, it's prohibited in many places, you got issues, problems, but people want to smoke a pipe because they find once they start learning how to smoke a pipe, they really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can go at it. Think about this, Brian. What thing can you possibly do in your daily life, your weekly life, that could bring you a lot of excitement?
Yeah.
What do? You know, you see a new pipe on eBay, or you see a new pipe on the smoking pipe site, or you see a new pipe on Pipes of Smoke site, and it gets you excited.
Yeah.
And so you're able to do something that brings you a lot of pleasure, joy, and excitement. There's not that many things you can do that can bring all that into your life. And then you can smoke that pipe and you can find the right tobacco that you like or mess around and try to figure out. And so you have the excitement of getting it. You have the pleasure of smoking it and using it, and it could go on for your life.
And you made the transition from, you know, in your early pipe smoking time to smoking a couple of times a day to now when you only smoke, you know, in the evening, one bowl.
One big bowl, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so that's kind of like the guys that I'm really jealous of that, you know, that do their whole day. And then at the end of the day, they sit down with their pipe and then that's how they end the day. So you must really enjoy also hearing from some of the younger, newer pipe smokers that are, you know, just sitting there going, well, I'll just wait. You know, I only smoke on the weekends.
Sure. In other words, some people smoke, a lot of them, in their car going to and from work.
Yeah.
Because that's when they have a commute, and they like smaller pipes. And so you got to really understand, first of all, you have to understand when can you smoke? What are the times that you can smoke? You know,
right.
Something I didn't have to think about 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I'd have to say, well, you know, so like for me, for instance, when I moved, when I was really starting out, and I used to like smoke three bowls a day, And one would be lunchtime, a small pipe. And then I would, because I was really close to home from work. And then in the evening, I'd smoke two bowls. And my bigger pipes, because I didn't have any huge, like I have some today, you know, would smoke about an hour.
Right.
So, you know, at 7 o'clock, I'd smoke a bowl at 8. And then at 9 o'clock, I'd smoke a bowl till 10. So if you combine those two evening pipes together, that's like what one of my big pipes smoke for me now.
Yeah. Do you think now that you've slowed down, which you did years ago, to the one pipe a night, do you think your taste in the tobacco experience is better than it was before?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, it depends, because in a certain sense, what would happen is now, for instance, I do my own tobacco mixing up, and I sort of know what I'm interested in for that evening. I can tell. Plus, I've learned to appreciate my pipes in terms of what each pipe is capable of producing. Maybe I don't remember every single pipe. But I know that, for instance, in the Costello, I'm looking for a little stronger mixture and a little lighter mixture in a Dunhill. But what happens is my taste buds are fresh.
Right.
You know, that to me, because I'm really interested. A lot of people, you know, are smoking and they like smoking. And you get the nicotine, whatever. But the thing is, I'm really interested in a great tasting experience, which is why I like the pipes that I like, because they produce great flavor. You know what I mean? They produce flavor. And some people, you know, like every person that I've met that have really have been collecting high grade pipes, most people started with a high grade pipe by accident. They tried something and they realize that pipe, and by high grade, I mean like, it doesn't have to be like a Costello, Great Line, Fiammata, whatever. You know, they tried a Costello and they liked it, or they tried a higher grade Italian, or they tried a really good English pipe and they liked it. And they said, wow, this smokes so much better that, you know, I want to experience that again. It's like I've often made the comparison to the guy that, you know, eats at the local diner, which has some good food, and they buy a steak at the local diner, and then they go to a high grade steakhouse. And the high grade steakhouse, if it's the right high grade steakhouse, is going to produce. You're going to have a meal that's going to be so far different than what you find at the diner. Now, maybe the diner food is what you want, though. You know, not everybody wants. It's going to cost you more money for the higher, higher grade restaurant. But again, you know, it's your thing. But that's why that one bowl is critical. So I have to get the right tobaccos, the right taste. Everything has to be right. Otherwise, the experience for the day is over.
Yeah. It's not like me with my three or four bowls a day where, you know, I've got the next one to make it okay if the first one's bad.
Look, and I had many friends who used to smoke 8 to 10 bowls a day in the office. You know, wow. So I used to say to them, I remember one fellow in particular, I used to say, well, you know, if this bowl didn't smoke that good, then I got the next one coming right up. And then one day he couldn't smoke in the office anymore. And he could only smoke at home. And then he realized what I was talking about by getting that one terrific bowl a day. So think about this too. If your time is spent, you know, let's say in the car, you know, you can't just focus on smoking your pipe. Although it can help make the drive a lot better and a lot easier.
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't matter as much, you know, what pipe you're smoking. But if you smoke on the weekends where you can sit back and relax and enjoy it, it's a different experience. So it depends on the experience time itself.
Right.
I don't know if that made sense.
No, it does. It does. It makes perfect sense. And And, you know, and that's part of the reason why I'm kind of jealous of these guys that, you know, that get to, you know, get down to two or three bowls a week. And that's, you know, it's a well thought out, well planned out event, and they've selected the right pipe and the right tobacco, and they, you know, planned for it, and there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's good. I mean, that's sort of what I do, although I don't really, you know, I might wake up today. I have more than enough pipes, and I might wake up today and say, you know what? All of a sudden, this particular pipe, it's on my mind.
Yeah.
What is it? It's a Giant Costello and Shape 93. And I woke up, and that's what I want to smoke today. So I have a few of them, and I say, which finish do I want to smoke? I'll smoke a carved one, and then I'll bring an extra pipe downstairs just in case for some reason I change my mind. I'll say, well, you know, what? If I don't want to smoke this, what else do I have? And it's something that, you know, you plan. But, yeah, you know, for other people, they pull the pipe off the rack, and I don't know why they're doing it. I try to sometimes talk to people about it. You know, why this particular pipe? And most times it's just because it just appealed to you that day. There's no great thought behind why you're smoking this pipe versus that pipe. And I'd ask you, if you're smoking 3-4 bowls a day, 5 bowls a day, how do you choose your pipe?
Yeah. You know, sometimes when I'm getting ready to pull a pipe off the rack and I'm sitting here at home and I'm looking at, you know, 80, 90 pipes, I get kind of paralyzed trying to pick which pipe. And I'll spend 15, 20 minutes just kind of going through the rack. But anyway, Rich, it's always great to catch up with you. You're still actively writing for the Pipe Collector, so we get to hear your musings and newsings in there. But, you know, just always good to come to catch up with you, and great hanging out with you.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy it, Brian. You know that I love talking to people about pipes. I like writing about pipes. I hope whatever I write, people find some interest in it. You know, I try to me, really, it's really an exciting thing. And it's very relaxing, and it's pleasurable, all these things all at once. And I hope to continue to be able to do it for a long time.
And yeah, then we'll check in with you each year as long as you're still, as long as I'm still up and doing this. So, thanks for coming on, and thanks for hanging out with me.
Yeah, Brian, like I say, a great pleasure, and I'll speak to you soon.
And we'll be back in just a minute.
For over 150 years, Peterson has welcomed all pipe smokers. It's the preferred choice of the thinking man and the everyman alike, and our workshop too is a place of hospitality and warmth. Hi, I'm Glenn Whelan, and for me, Peterson is a family tradition I've known since my childhood. My dad, Tony Whelan Jr., worked at Peterson for 53 years and has been my home since 2003. From sweeping our factory on a Saturday morning, to managing our store, to now steering our international distribution, I've seen the craftsmanship poured into each Peterson pipe. It lives in Jason's discerning eye as he handcrafts our silver accents, and in Wojciech's able hands as he carves our rustications. It abides in Willie's grading and in Warren's papering. Peterson has welcomed us as contributors to its legacy, and it's a welcome we always extend to you. Cade Mila Falje, 100,000 welcomes, wherever you come from, whosoever you be.
This is Internet Radio.
And we are back. I always enjoy catching up with Rich, you know, getting a chance to chat with him. And, you know, there's a little banter before and after, and it's always fun. So anyway, always good to have him on the show. All right, for music, we got a request from a youngster named Adam Floyd, who's been on the show before. And he says, music. I'll start with another music request and maybe redeem myself from last time amongst the Dinos and Casey Ghosts of the world. With Paddy's Day just passing, but the month still being March, check out this small Irish folk strings group that I've been enjoying for a time. The group is Amble, and the song is Mariner Boy. Bonus points because the gentleman in the album art is smoking a pipe. So we have a pipe connection, and we get the music thanks to Adam. So here it is.
Saving my flowers away for you, though it's homeward I know I should be. Summer's gone and the birds they have flown on the winds of the migrating sea. On the winds of the migrating sea. The captain he asked me on a cold winter's eve, is it marriage you're intending to be? Is the love at the door awaiting at the shore, with a candle and babe on her sleeve? With a candle and babe on her sleeve. Yes and the no, sir, I did reply, there's no bonny lass waiting for me. If I had but one, I would lay down my folly and not be gone fishing with thee. And not be gone fishing with thee. 2 years ago, there came to the show a fair maiden according for me. We had one with the ring and the money, but she wallowed in pity for me. She said, a mariner, boy's never free. Often the day, sitting up on the waves, that I wish I could then see your face. With the dark hair entwined down her magical spine, but I'll always remember her name. Yes, I'll always remember her name.
Well, I can't speak for Dino and Casey Ghost, but I can say I like that song much better than the other one Adam sent in. So there you go. Music suggestions again, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com.
Tuesday, Monday, you've got mail. Tuesday, Wednesday, you've got mail. Thursday, Friday, you've got mail.
And again, if you have a comment or question, you can email it directly to me, brian@pipesmagazine.com, or you could post it on the Pipes Magazine Radio Show page on pipesmagazine.com every week, just like Casey Ghost does. And this week he says, going back to last week's show, really enjoyed this show thanks to the inclusion of Louis Armstrong. That guy could read the phone book and it would still sound great to me. Yeah. Greatly enjoyed the work of Chuck Stanion as read by you. It was a great story and a fine tribute to Patty. Not many craftsmen around like him anymore. Dylan was a fine guest. Unlike many of the folks of his age, he has a reasonable understanding that is okay to disagree with somebody as long as you are civil about it. His liking of Dunhill Tobaccos. I too greatly enjoyed Dunhill Tobaccos when they made them, and I really like Nightcap. It's a shame he couldn't have the pleasure of smoking those blends. I must admit, there hasn't been a major fall off in flavor of those blends since STG started making them in the Peterson blends. He's a little young to have his palate making a major change in what he likes, but he better watch out because it could hit later in life. The boys at smokingpipes.com can really deliver when it comes to servicing the customers. Kudos to Sykes and Company. Yeah, thanks, Casey Ghost. Yeah. Still enjoying that pipe, too. Dino says, thank you for sharing this article with your listeners. I had missed reading it at the Daily Reader, but your recitation was very well done. I will now go back and read Chuck's article as it was so nicely written. Dylan's backstory is somewhat typical of the younger journeyman guests, and he seems to be growing well into the well into the community. His questions for you and the answers were interesting, insightful, and quite entertaining. I totally agree with Dan. You can play Louie anytime you want. I just love Pops. Nice follow-up on last week's rant. Good on smokingpipes.com. Thanks for another wonderful show, Dino. You're welcome, Dino. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks in Chicago. Yeah. Get to see Dino. And then Papa Meek says, what a great episode. Again, I really enjoyed listening about the new generation of pipers. It gives me hope for a boon or at least a continuation of a great luxury hobby. I know a lot of quotation marks going on here. Can't wait for the next episode. Well, thank you. Yeah. And then finally, from our friend Adam Floyd comes, first, congratulations on 600 episodes. This is such a mind-boggling statistic for me that for 600 weeks, you and your show have consistently been planned, scheduled, written, recorded, released, and enjoyed. Wild. Yeah. Great show this past week. I really enjoyed your reading of Chuck Stanion's article on Peterson's Patty Larrigan. What an incredible story. I had read that article several times over when it released, and listening to it only made me more infatuated with Peterson. I do hope to one day acquire a Patty handmade. They're out there. But on that, happy St. Patrick's Day to you and your listeners. I also really enjoyed Dylan's guest appearance. It's funny, you've had other podcasters on before, but man, Dylan is clearly a podcaster. Great speaker, great use of inflection in his voice. Clear, concise, fun, and entertaining. Must be nice. but above all, his heart was pure, and his excitement for pipes and tobacco were true. I ended up packing a bowl of an English mixture while listening when I'd otherwise have reached for a Burley because of our friend's preference. I'll certainly check out his show. Thanks, Dylan. Go Celtics. Thanks for a great show. Can't wait till the Vegas Pipe Show. The Chicago Pipe Show. Cheers. Adam J. Floyd, Get Piped on YouTube, Get Piped Podcast. Now, let's have a little fun with Adam. Well, Adam, first of all, thank you for the kind words and the comments and for listening to the show and staying awake through it, because I know you go to bed early. He signed it Adam J. Floyd, so let's all guess what the J stands for. I think I'm going to go with Jasper. I think Adam looks like a Jasper. So, Adam Jasper Floyd, thank you very much. If you have a J suggestion, put it in the comments below. All right, rant time coming up next.
We have arrived at 155. Missouri Meerschaum Company has been authentically crafting corncob pipes continually for 155 years. To celebrate, we're hosting a 155th anniversary celebration on Saturday, September 28th, 2024. There will be ticketed working plant tours, an exhibit on the corncob pipe industry by Skillet Fork Pipe Museum, a live podcast of the Gray Woody Show, a smoking tent for your enjoyment, and so much more. The 155th anniversary celebration will be held in conjunction with Downtown Washington's Fall Festival of the Arts and Crafts, with food, beverages, live music, and over 100 vendors. Visit our Facebook page at Cool Smoking Pipes for fun event updates and more information. Missouri Meerschaum Company, since 1869.
Excuse me, Mr. Collins, but the show is starting. They need you on stage.
Just one minute there, Charlie. I'm placing a bid for this great item on 10bids.com. Ever heard of them?
Oh, sure. The Pipe Collector's Auction site. Well, I just sold some nice things on there myself. Say, you don't see much of that anymore.
Yes, you sure don't, Charlie. But 10bids.com sure has it. They have vintage and luxury tobaccos, pipes, accessories, you name it.
Tom, baby, we need you on stage.
Okay, Ed. Charlie, take over for me, would you please?
You got it, boss.
Visit 10bids.com, the pipe collector's auction site, and sign up for free today.
Hey, Mr. Collins, you won!
Boy.
I have lived in the southern United States for going on 24 years now. So 24 years. And here is a thing that is in the South that is somewhat annoying at times, or really annoying. But it seems like it's even worse here in the Central Florida area. We have a 10-mile drive to the Walt Disney World Resort. And on that 10-mile drive, there is one right turn and then one left turn, and then we are on the Walt Disney World Resort. After we make that right turn, we are on the same road for about 8 miles. All right, you got it? Same road for 8 miles. For those of you in Europe with kilometers, it's, you know, more kilometers than eight, whatever the conversion is. All right, we're on that same road for 8 miles. That road changes names three times. Three different times it changes names. It completely changes names. And in fact, at one point, there is one time where it, or the road we're on, we go straight, it changes names, but the road name that we were just on turns left at an intersection. So, this is something that's traditional in the South, where you get, you know, two cities and the road meets up and then they change names, or you get two areas and the road meets up and they change names. But here in Orlando, boy, they take it to another level. Three times in 8 miles, and the road that you're on will turn left, and you got to stay straight to go onto the new road. And in fact, I know if I go north of where I am, that same road that we're on for 8 miles to change names three times, I know that a mile north of me, it changes names again. So really, if you wanted to be on that road for 9 miles, you could be on four different road names. Well, how confusing is that? So much for urban master planning in the South. Yeah, it's just, yeah, we'll just connect this road and that road. There you go. All right, rant done. Yeah, just be careful when you're driving around here. Road names change. All right, again, comments, questions, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. Apple Podcast ratings and reviews, much appreciated. Those of you that have listened all the way through, thank you very much. A big thank you to Rich for joining me. Thank you all for tuning in, and until next time.
About the clouds when we're together, just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Look at all that traffic. I told you not to get on this freeway.